This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is... Actually, we're going to skip that today. The show originates from the Investar Bank Tower in Baton Rouge. We're pleased to have you with us. Robin Dow is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. With us to begin our discussion are two people involved in preservation in Baton Rouge. Elizabeth Boo Thomas, the former, now retired CEO of the Center for Planning Excellence, and Rex Cabanis, who's been an architect 40 years and intricately involved in Baton Rouge. And they're upset about this plan involving the Belle of Baton Rouge, I guess the oldest casino in Baton Rouge, which is having a redo. And one of the plans, according to reports, is for a destruction of an old building, as in a century-old building. And I think Joni Mitchell put it in perspective, Robin. What was the song? Big Yellow Taxi? Can you pull it up? We were contemplating that. Here we go. I think this is apropos to what's going on right now in our fair city from Joni Mitchell.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go?
All right, there we go. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Well, what is going on,
well,
Boo?
Thanks so much, Jim, for having us. The Bell is actually investing $130 million in the casino. So
well, that's good, thrilled. Isn't it? Isn't
that's
that great?
Fabulous. And
wonderful.
So, goodness, they have so much going on. And we're thrilled to be working with them and have reached out to them. But let me set the stage. For the past 25 years, the city of Baton Rouge and the whole parish has benefited from the vision of Plan Baton Rouge, a vision, we talk about vision, that makes downtown the one neighborhood we can all call our own. Because of this visionary plan, Jim, we have seen over $3 billion of investment in downtown.
And all right. So I know things are going great downtown. I've seen it. But this particular project is going to be before the council, as in tomorrow at 4 o'clock, council chambers. And what will be the discussion about what's going on with this project, Boo?
They would like to tear down a 160-year-old structure at the corner of Government and River Road and replace it with a parking lot, and to increase visibility of their hotel. And they own five other historic buildings around the casino, around the Catfish Town atrium. And let's tear down one of those because they have no presence. They have no value. This is huge.
Why do those not have any value?
Well, they are not on a major thoroughfare, on a highway, where everyone would see them, and would then, if people would drive by and see this beautiful structure, they'd come to the casino. They'd walk in.
Has a case been made to the Bell to do this, the alternate course of action?
Absolutely.
And what's been the Rex Cabanis, who's an architect involved in this discussion, is also here in the studio. What's been the response?
I sit on the Historic Preservation Commission, which got the original application several months ago. And so we had very detailed discussions with them. They made their pitch, and we decided it did not merit tearing down a 100-plus-year-old building, that there are alternate ways to provide what they need to be successful. And that's what we want. We want them to be successful, but just not by demolishing this particular building.
This 160-year-old building, and by the way, if you'd like to get in, 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. What's it being used for right now?
It's partially occupied with businesses. And
so it's not vacated?
No. Okay. And it could be, they could make a nice profit if they want to sell it, and turning it into a viable restaurant, upscale condos, just like the other one has been.
Right next door, there's one just like it that has been successfully renovated.
This is the Maritime 2 Plaza, and you say it's got, as they say, good legs, right?
Oh, yes.
Good bones.
It's beautiful.
Good bones.
Beautiful bones.
Okay. 877-217-5757 is your number for Boo Thomas, the vibrant person still active in our community, and we're very pleased that she is, and Rex Cabanis. And another listener, before we go to the phone lines, asked about what used to be the Council to Preserve Louisiana, or and it became Preserve Louisiana. That group is now not as active, if it is at all. So it's people like Boo and Rex who have to carry the ball, right?
And we have heard from hundreds of people. I don't even know how many. I think Rex had over 1,000 responses on his LinkedIn. But it's not just preservationists. It's people who believe in downtown, who believe in Baton Rouge, who believe in the parish of Baton Rouge, that want to see this. You know, we always are compared to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We're not. Here's a New Orleans. Here's a building that has great potential.
And a listener notes correctly, it was a council for historical Louisiana. That one was headed by our friend Carolyn Bennett. And, of course, Fairleigh Jackson was Preserved Louisiana. And it's unfortunate that we don't have an active group, but we do have two extremely active people. Now, you're an architect.
Yes, sir.
You would know if this is a piece of trash building, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't be here if it was. There's no crime in tearing down buildings that no longer have a purpose for the community, but this one has no lack of purpose that could really enhance our community. That's why we're here.
Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you know what else we used to have 100 years ago? We had property rights, and this is why you can't build the next great city, because outsiders who don't own the property can dictate to the property owner what they can and cannot do with their own property. Can't develop anything if you have outside forces telling you, you know, right, that's so, planning so zoning has gotten so extreme.
Okay, I hear you, Patrick. You sound fired up. Sounds like you're siding with the Bell on this.
I'm siding with the property owner.
Well,
they have a vision. Let them do their vision. And that's what's wrong with this city. Property owners can't, me, myself included, I can't do what I want to do with my property because of planning and zoning.
You're not a preservation kind of guy. You like new things, don't you, Patrick?
No, I like preservation, but I also like preserving property rights.
Okay. Does Patrick have a point, Boo?
If you like parking lots, you know, what we showed is if you are coming to downtown and that puts money in the whole parish coffers, and you see a beautiful building and landscaped and you can walk by it, you're going to come back there. I am not going to come back and walk by a parking lot in downtown Baton Rouge. And we have, that was one of the things that our consultants found when they first came in 1998 and looked at our downtown. We had so many parking lots that you could hardly even see buildings, and that's mm-hmm. been transformed.
Well, parking lots, and Rex would probably be able to opine about this. I'm told by people in the know that when you build lots of parking lots, you're increasing the prospect of flooding, aren't you? Because the water doesn't have...
Right, you're not improving the business stature. There's plenty of parking around this building. These are discussions we've had with the casino operators. That's part of our role as serving on the Historic Preservation Commission. This is a governmental agency, part of our town. So that's my job in this, is to try to serve the community as best I can.
877-217-5757 is your number. We're talking about this 100 plus. You say 160? Is it that old?
160. I think 1860.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, that's 164 years ago. That was before Abe Lincoln was president of the United States of America, before the Civil War. That building's been there before the Civil War?
Well, let me double-check my facts.
Okay, all right. Okay. But anyway, we know it's more than a century old.
Yes.
At the corner of Government and River Road, being proposed for possible demolition by the casino for a parking lot. Patrick in Innisfil Estates says, the Bell has every right to do whatever it wants with its property. What do you think? Phil in Jefferson Terrace, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you. Listen, those buildings are infinitely rebuildable. Everything within that was built in the downtowns when we had trains connecting these charming cities were done with brick, and they're infinite rebuildable. They're worth keeping and restoring. And the casinos always break their promises. I mean, the one that set up at the foot of Canal Street, they promised not to build a hotel. They promised not to build a restaurant to compete with those other businesses. Basically, they don't care.
All right. I think that might be a bit far. As Boo said, $130 million infusion into downtown Baton Rouge is a good thing. And by the way, if anybody from the Bell wants to talk about this, they're certainly welcome to come on this show. But
may I correct myself? Okay. It really was built between 1911 and 1916.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So that would be 108 years. Well, okay. Yeah, 108 years. Okay. So it's an old building. These old buildings, I think in many cases, Rex, are in, they were made to last, weren't they?
This has survived a lot of years and generations. Boo mentioned New Orleans. One of the reasons people love New Orleans, I used to live there for many years in the French Quarter. They love the buildings. They love the history. They love the heritage, the culture, the streetscape. That's why people go to cities like that. So to tear this down is a huge step backwards for what downtown Baton Rouge is trying to achieve.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll spend a few more minutes with Boo Thomas and with Rex Cavanis. Then we'll talk about Kamala Harris. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And we're wrapping it up with Boo Thomas and with Rex Cavanis. Rex is an architect. He's been doing his deal for 40 years. And Boo is a longtime community advocate. She was the CEO, I think the original one, for the Center for Planning Excellence, and still active, and they are not pleased with this plan to tear down a 108-year-old building, the Maritime 2 Plaza, to put in a parking lot. Now, it's part of a good thing in which the Belle of Baton Rouge is putting in about $130 million to spruce up its property, and that's great. And they are making the case, and they will do so tomorrow at the council meeting, 4 o'clock, council chambers. And by the way, if Patrick at Inniswald Estates wants to show up, which I hope he does, and make his case that the Bell is on the right track, Patrick, go for it. We want you to make your voice heard as you did on this show. But I understand some tax credits are available that would make this more palatable, perhaps, to the property owner. Is that correct?
Not a lot of people know this. Louisiana is number one in using historic tax credits. We don't often get to the top of number one on lists like this. We've reached out to the Louisiana Office of Cultural Development. They've come to our meetings. They've presented to the Bell. So we think that's a wonderful opportunity, up to 45% tax credits. That's how you make projects like this viable.
So, Boo, what's going to happen tomorrow?
So tomorrow, council meeting at 4 o'clock in the council chambers. It's item 166 on the council agenda. That's kind of one of the last items on the agenda. Call your council person. Show up tomorrow in person, 4 o'clock, at the governmental building.
And they're slated to vote?
Slated to vote tomorrow.
And if they vote one way or the other, it's probably a done deal, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keep going.
Thank you.
Great to see both of you. And
thank you, Jim.
Appreciate your passion for our community and for preserving buildings in our fair city that have been around for longer than anybody who's alive in this community. And it's good to remember the past. 877-217-5757. And right now we switch to the future, as in 15 weeks from today. There's an election on the calendar. November 5th is the date. We'll be voting for mayor and several other races, and we'll be talking about those, of course. There's also a hot race for Congress and for the PSC and some other local matters. But the headline event is the presidential election for the United States of America, and it will involve two people on the front end and back end of the baby boom. Baby boom was 46 to 64. Donald Trump was born in 46, and Kamala Harris was born in 64. So she's 18 and a half years younger than Donald Trump. And now the age issue has moved not from a focus on Joe Biden, but a focus on Donald Trump. And we'll talk about that and more with our guests, Dr. Albert Samuels, Dr. Faye Williams, and Dr. Daryl Glasper. So 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. Yesterday, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, as the New York Times reports, drew on her past as a prosecutor in her first campaign appearance since President Biden dropped his reelection bid, saying her law enforcement background would help her defeat her rival. And here she is making her case in Wilmington, Delaware, home state of Joe Biden.
I was elected as vice president before I was elected as United States Senator. I was the elected Attorney General, as I've mentioned, of California. Before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
All right, there she is, Kamala Harris. 59 years old, she turned 60 on October 20th, and she is a vibrant, active person. She doesn't have the issues of movement and slow speech as the president does, Joe Biden. And she has been his number two. So can she win? She does have some check marks that some people might not view as positive. There are people who, of course, would never vote for a woman. There are people who would never vote for a black person. There are people who would never vote for a Democrat, and especially one from California. But Faye Williams in Washington, D.C., what's your take on where we are right now? And can Kamala Harris defeat Donald Trump? What do you think, Dr. E. Faye Williams?
Good morning, Jim, and everybody on listening to your call. Absolutely. She not only can, but she will. You cannot believe the enthusiasm there is out there. You know, because I think people are tired of that ugly, childish, racist, anti-feminist, anti-American, anti-freedom threats that we're hearing. We're hearing about bloodbaths and all that stuff. And we're just tired of that. Americans want to be positive again. And first of all, we want to capitalize on what Harris and President Biden did together. This is just an extension of the kinds of things they were trying to do to make this country a better one. We're all loyal Americans, and that showed as soon as Kamala Harris was announced as the candidate. I know that black women, Hispanic women, many of us, even black men, went to work and began raising money and generating this excitement that's going on across this country. Doesn't matter what the state is. We're very positive. Kamala's running a positive race. Obviously, she's got to talk about the orange man.
Okay. Daryl Glasper, good Republican that you are, and I know you have some misgivings about Donald Trump, but my guess is that you would prefer him over Vice President Harris. Am I right?
Listen to me. It's not about what Daryl Glasper prefer. It's about what's going to happen in this race. If the Republicans take Kamala Harris as a person, like they start talking about being dumb, and just trying to push her to the side, I'm going to say this to you. Not only does she have a pass, she's got a runway to win the race. There is a runway. But they have to talk about issues. And so regardless if you're Republican or Democrat, you got to look at the issues of what's facing America today. Jim, we are country divided.
All right. What are the issues, though,
Darryl? Well, the issues is protecting your border because border.
Immigration. I got you. That's an issue.
Your foreign policy and then your economy. And, your education and then the criminal aspects of fentanyl, how it's coming into the United States. So there are the number of issues that they need to be talking about versus talking about each other.
What about abortion?
Well, abortion is the issue. Let me tell you what happened when Joe Biden got out of this race. This whole dynamics of the race changed. You know why? Because exactly what Dr. Williams just said. It was a race that everybody thought was going to be over with. But now it is a competitive race because now you have a person, not only a female, a person of color, and the excitement is there. Now, how long the excitement is going to last, we'll see when you start talking about the issues.
She's raised a ton of money, and that's a good start. But she, of course, has a dogged opponent in Donald Trump who, if anything, he is resilient. Albert Samuels, how do you see the race at this point 15 weeks out? Dr. Samuels at Southern University.
First of all, good morning. Good morning, Jim, and good morning to everyone on the panel. This race dramatically lasts 48 hours because Democrats 48 hours ago were staring down the barrel of not just losing the presidency, but also potentially losing, failing to retake the House and losing the Senate. And to be out of power. And what has happened is there has been a fuel injection burst into the Democratic Party. The excitement. She raised $87 million in about 24 hours. And the endorsements had just flown in. And for Donald Trump now, he's now who had been anticipating running against an aging incumbent, is now going to have to face a candidate who can clearly articulate not just a case against him, but also give a vision of the future. And I think that's one of the things that was missing from the Biden campaign, was that it was hard for an 81-year-old guy to make a case about the future, because he
was part of the past. And it's a new day for the Democrats, and will that mean a turnaround from the polls, which have not been positive? We'll talk about it some more when we return after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're discussing the prospective development of Kamala Harris as the Democratic nominee for president. I mentioned yesterday she'll become the first nominee if she gets it, and it appears she will, to win her party's nod for the presidency without entering a primary since Hubert Humphrey in 1968. Democrats met in Chicago that year. Humphrey was the vice president. He was from LSU, and Kamala Harris, of course, is a Californian. Both of her parents had PhDs from the University of California. She has Jamaican ancestry on her father's side and Indian, as in Asian India, on the mother's side. And she is a person who is an American success story, and she is running. And Donald Trump, of course, has been part of the fabric of this country for about a half century. And he won his first race for office ever, and he went for the gold and ran for president in the year of 2016. And one of the few people who predicted that he would win on election day was Daryl Glasper, who's in studio, a Republican, former Democrat, who generally backs Republican candidates. He's sizing up the race with Dr. Albert Samuels at Southern University and Dr. E. Fay Williams in Washington, a Louisiana Politico, who, of course, is a thunderous voice from the left side of the spectrum. Again, your number, the remarkable Robin Dow, ready to take your call at 877-217-5757. Let's start with Larry in Woodville, Mississippi. Larry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I would like to talk about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Why is it that he is not getting the fair shake as the Republican and Democratic Party?
Well, he is a third-party candidate, as are many others. He is getting a lot of publicity, primarily because of his name, but he did not. And that's their system right now. It's generally a two-party system in this country. But Albert Samuels, I think Larry has a point that is worthy, is that we often don't give third-party candidates the attention they deserve. The last person to really draw a lot of scrutiny and acclaim and criticism, but that comes with the publicity, it was Ross Perot. But why not Bobby Kennedy Jr.? Why are we not focusing on him more?
Well, the caller makes a point that, I'm expecting to call it, but I think that our political system is really, really structured against third party candidates, you know, and you're right, Ross Perot is the exception that proves the rule. I mean, you have to be a truly extraordinary candidate, and also the unique nature of the political environment has to favor that. And right now, I think that the country is just too polarized in many ways, in some ways, for that to happen. So the caller has another point, but right now it is a sloth for any third-party candidate just to get on the ballot in all 50 states.
All right,
well, let's have a chance to win.
Well, Robert Kennedy will not carry one state, and Ross Perot didn't either. George Wallace did carry five states, I believe, including Louisiana. And
Jim, may I say something on that that issue? Well, first of all, Robert Kennedy's family is not even supporting him. I mean, all of his family, they're not supporting him. So that puts a question in our mind about what his intentions are. We also know that Trump supporters have been paying for much of his campaign. That gives us another problem. We want someone who's going to be honest. You're either going to be a Republican or you're going to be a Democrat. You can be an independent, but as long as your issues were right, we would vote for you too, probably, if you were the best candidate. But that's not the case here. The Democratic Party has a record to run on. Biden and Harris have a great record to run on. They had greater economic opportunities for people. And there was no such thing as black jobs in the Biden administration. There were jobs, and people competed for them. They did poverty reduction. They did health care access, and particularly for people who have diabetes, of which there are a lot of them in Louisiana.
Okay, well, Bobby Kennedy could affect the race. He's going to get votes, and particularly in the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Daryl, who does he hurt more? I've seen polls saying it cuts both ways.
He cuts both ways. Jim, let me tell you who's going to determine the race. It's going to be independents across the country. They do it all the time. They just sit back there. They're the quiet assassins in these races. That's why everybody is trying to talk to Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy is a very bright individual. I know Bobby Kennedy. Of course, he has a lot of ideas, like everybody else. And we will put him in a box because of his thought process. But at the end of the day, anybody who understands politics is going to understand that the independent vote is going to be the deciding factor in this race.
Okay, Jennifer in Mid-City. Jennifer, you're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Williams, Dr. Samuels, and Daryl Glasper. Hi, Jennifer.
So I actually am calling about the Bobby Kennedy thing, too. One thing that I noticed is that we have third-party candidates run for president, but I don't think we have a strong third-party system in the Senate or the House. And I feel like, if that was going to become stronger, it needs to have a stronger base. It can't start at the top.
All right.
Countries like England, where they have many parties, I feel like it kind of goes throughout, from city councils on up.
Well, I'm with you. I think we need more parties, but there are two U.S. senators who are not Democrats. They're in the Democratic fold as far as how they vote, but Angus King of Maine and Bernie Sanders of Vermont, they are not Democrats. Now, Bernie ran as a Democratic candidate for president, but he is technically not a Democrat. But thank you, Jennifer, and I'm with you. I think we need more voices, and maybe at some point it'll happen, but it has not happened, and you can bet that the next president will either be Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. Chris in St. George. Chris, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Dr. Williams said she wants honest candidates, and I agree. I have my questions about Trump. But how can we explain Harris's recent assertions that Biden was, quote, energetic, fully capable, statements she made less than three weeks ago, which we saw with our own eyes was totally false about Biden?
All right. Faye Williams, was Biden up to the job, or does Chris have a point?
Well, certainly when you look at his past record, he's up to the job. Anyone gets sick, I could have had a bad night. Anyone could have had a bad night. We find that the Republican candidate has a lot of those, and he was still out there. He got shot one day, and he was still up the next day. And, he called Biden the old man. Well, Trump is the old man in this race. So I think it's time for us to have a younger person. It's time for us to have a woman. It's time for us to have another black person. So we've got a lot, and I'm just so pleased that Emily's List is supporting Kamala Harris. Emily's List was just getting started when I ran for Congress in Louisiana, and but for the fact that I couldn't get enough white people to vote for me, I basically didn't win the election. But in the minds of many people, I did win, because in New Orleans there has been a black person in the race winning ever since I showed them you could run and you could win.
Oh, and you did it in the district that was only 38% white. But a listener asked about running mate. Kamala Harris has to choose her running mate. Dr. Samuels, we'll start with you on that one. Who should she choose as her number two?
Well, I think that ultimately, she needs to choose someone whom she can trust, whom she can really rely on. Now there's several people who've been suggested. I think Andy Beshear of Kentucky is a candidate. Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania has been talked about. Mark Kelly, Arizona, are some of the most prominent names that have been talked about. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it has to be someone whom she's comfortable with, that when she has to make that tough decision, that this is the person I can trust. And I just want to say, she has the rapport that she has with Joe Biden, you know, it was just palpable on that phone call that we saw yesterday. And so the answer to the other caller's question, she is loyal to Joe Biden, and she was loyal to the end. And so, you know, and she's one of the people who saw him, and so she believed that he was competent. Now the problem was Biden was not able to convince his party, and he wasn't able to convince the rest of the country, you know, that he had the stamina. And I think the bleeding got to the point where something had to be done.
All right. Darrell Glasper, running mate for Kamala Harris?
It doesn't make a difference, Jim. She's going to have to pick someone that she thinks that can help her win the election. It's going to have to be someone from one of the swing states, one of the governors, probably one of the senators, or just somebody in business. But I can simply tell you, you know, when we talk about all of this stuff, it is, Jim, the people are looking at what is in it for me, what is in it for my household, how I'm going to bring my gas prices, how I'm going to bring my food prices, how I'm going to educate my children, how are we going to make a living every day, what is going to happen with employment, what's going to happen with inflation. And those things that we're not talking about, we're talking about each other. We're talking about maybe female candidates, black candidates, red candidates, orange man, all that foolishness. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, the people in America are going to look at issues, and they're going to look at candidates. Certainly, they're going to have to look at parties, but they're going to say, hey, what's in it for America? How do we make our lives better in America? And that's how I think.
All right. Another listener asked about a debate. Should Donald Trump debate Kamala Harris?
Well, you have to. If you're running for president of the United States, I don't give a damn who you are. You have to get out and tell the public how you're going to lead the country. And let me tell you something. You know the good thing about debates? When you open your mouth, we now know who you are on both sides.
Okay. Well, Dr. Williams, I'm not sure Donald Trump would do as well against Kamala Harris as he did against Joe Biden a few weeks ago.
That's absolutely true. I mean, when you talk about a candidate who, first of all, has announced that he wants to cut out the education department, and Brother Glasper just said, you know, people want to educate their children. How can you do that without even having an education department? Trump talks about DEI. Vance talks about DEI. Like every person other than a white male is, you know, going to, you know, is not up to the task. That's just not true.
877-217-5757. Another quarter hour to go. Albert Samuels, Darrell Glasper, and Dr. E. Faye Williams. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. There are reports that have now been confirmed that the head of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, has resigned after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. And beat goes on. Another story that is fascinating is that none other than Donald Trump contributed $6,000 to Kamala Harris when she was running for DA in San Francisco. She apparently donated the money to charity. Spokesperson told the Sacramento Bee that she donated the money to a nonprofit that advocates for civil and human rights for Central Americans. 877-217-5757. Yesterday on Morning Edition, there was a discussion about what is bound to be the hardest-hitting campaign for president ever, and I think that will not be an understatement because you got two candidates who are willing to take it to each other. And as we know, Donald Trump has a lot of stuff in his past that is fertile for discussion, and as a result, he is a person who is vulnerable to attack, and Joe Biden showed in the debate that he really was not capable of delivering the attack, but Kamala Harris is. But Kamala Harris, I think, has unfairly been vilified by people who go back many, many years, over 30 years, when apparently she had a friendship or relationship with Willie Brown, who was a legendary California politico. And let's Dr. Williams, get your take on whether there's a double standard here, because Kamala Harris has not been accused of rape. Donald Trump was found liable for rape, and also, as we know, had a relationship with a porn star. But why do we focus on a relationship that Kamala Harris may have had 30 years ago that was perfectly within the bounds of human behavior? What do you think?
Absolutely, Jim. It's ironic that we only talk about who dates whom when it's a woman they're trying to hurt. But it's also ironic to have as a candidate for president who has, a prosecutor, an experienced prosecutor who has won many cases for the people against an old man, because as he is, he's the old person in the race, and I'm old myself, so I'm not criticizing him. I'm only mentioning it because he makes age an issue. Kamala is that young, fresh person that we need in the race. People are going to stay energized just like we were. I was in that nearly 45,000 women on the call on Sunday night. That's almost an impossibility to do. But I was there, I will be there, and many women and men who the next night had over 20,000. And not just there, but raised money and put together a program for ourselves.
Cliff in Shenandoah. Cliff, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
I have, on the question of running mate, I would like to know what your panel thinks about Joe Manchin being the possible running mate that could bring in the independents and other people.
All right, Joe Manchin, the West Virginian who often was on the fence on major issues, perhaps the most conservative member of the Democratic majority in the Senate the last few years, who's not running for re-election. Would he be a palatable running mate, Dr. Williams, for
Kamala Harris? I'd like to see him run, Jim. I'd like to see him run, but I'd like to see him be the helper for J.D. Vance.
Okay.
It's a non-starter.
It's not going to be Joe Manchin, but there is this thing called ticket balancing, and a listener, it's actually a delicious prospect, another thing that will not happen. But what if Harris, for example, Daryl, the listener, this is Tracy at the Capitol, says, what if he chose she chose Mitt Romney as a running mate?
It would create a problem. Look, Jim, I want to stay very, very focused and very disciplined in my process, and that process is, God has forgiven Kamala Harris for her indiscretions and probably Donald Trump for his. Because America, how does that affect us? It doesn't affect the issues at all. What we've done in this country is we've taken race and we have amplified it in political races. We do things together every day, Jim, and I know it's not sexy to talk about, but we do things together as people. But when it comes to politics, then we are different animals. We have to talk about issues, and see, that's what's going to win this race. Who is the most disciplined in this race will win this race, because the runways are wide open. It's 2 points that's separating these individuals.
All right. Marjorie Espin, the former head of the ACLU in Louisiana, says Donald Trump was not found guilty of rape in his civil trial with E. Jean Carroll. He was found liable for sexual assault. But some would say that's the same thing, but there is a distinction, and I appreciate you.
Either one is bad, though, Jim. You're right. Either one is bad.
Some would say a distinction without a difference, but
yes.
But Donald Trump, of course, says he never knew the woman. Says he never knew
her. That's a difference. But it's actually a difference because the difference between being found civilly liable, which is a different legal standard.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't arguing that, but I think I might have said rape, and if I did, I was wrong.
You're right.
So I'm glad Marjorie corrected
right.
me. James in Metairie. James, you're on. Good morning. Hi, James.
Well, good morning to you, Jim. I had deep admiration for Marjorie Espin, but it was de facto rape. They changed the law in New York. If he did what he did back then, today, it would be criminal rape. Question for the panel. About a month ago, there was a poll that was New York Times. 30% of black Americans said they would vote for Trump. And given all that's happened in the past week or so, what percentage of the black vote do you think Donald Trump will get in this election.
Well, he was never going to get 30% of the black vote, but if he got 10%, that probably would make him the president of the United States. Elections are won at the margins, and Darryl, if Trump does well in Milwaukee, and when I say well, gets 10% of the black vote, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, in Detroit, then
North Carolina would make a difference.
Yeah,
too.
But I think he's probably going to win North Carolina. But those are the three states that Kamala, those are the states she probably has to have, those three.
Let me say that. It goes back, and the young man just hit the nail on the head. It goes back to the issue of not black, white, anything like that. It's issues. How does this election affect me as an individual, my family? And I tell people all the time, you know, when I predicted the fact that Donald Trump was going to win, it was the fact that he was coming in, he was new, and he was going to drain the swamp. Now, did that happen in the estimation, in the minds of some people? It did, and some people it didn't. So it is up to the people. We can sit here as pundits and talk about what our thought processes are. I do know one thing. You have now a heated presidential race, and if anybody say anything else, they're fooling themselves and they're fooling America. It's who's going to be the most disciplined, who's going to bring the country together, and who's going to solve our problems.
877-217-5757, if you'd like to get in under the wire. We're 15 weeks away from the presidential election. Now, the Democrats, they're having a late convention. It's in Chicago. Will there be unity? Faye Williams, do you think that based on what's happened the last few days that there will not be any bloodshed at the convention?
Oh, I don't know. There's always somebody who will do that. There may be provocateurs for all we know, but I think mainly it will be a wonderful, energetic convention, just like we are out here today. And, you know, for once, I agree with Brother Glasper that people are going to be concerned about the issues. And the good thing there is that Harris has a record on which to stand with President Biden, a good record, because it includes all kinds of things that people are interested in. They were continuing to work this to make this a better world, a better country for us.
Albert Samuels, let's get your take after we hear from David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Trump referred to Letitia James, the black lady who's the attorney general in New York, as a jitterbug. Now, that's very similar to a very serious racial slur. And if anyone doesn't believe Trump is not a racist, they're being fooled and deceived.
Well, he called Omarosa, who's a law student at Southern University, by the way, here in Baton Rouge, he called her a dog. If he calls Kamala Harris a name, Darryl, at the debate, and he may, he as we know, he takes the bait, he gets upset, he calls people names, that's what he does. Well, some would say it might help him. It didn't hurt him when he said to Hillary, You're a nasty, such a nasty woman.
I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to say this. This is my editorial opinion. It's only mine. The country now is looking for a very disciplined individual who has been very proficient on the issues. Now that's my take. And so, to both sides, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they both the handlers need to get those candidates to be very, very disciplined and talk about issues. Talking about one another don't make a hill of beans to a person who's struggling and unemployed, who has medical issues, no type of things.
All right, Albert Samuels, your thoughts.
Well, this is going to be a tough campaign because we know what Donald Trump is going to do. He's already doing it. And he's gonna call it, and they're gonna throw everything but the kitchen sink at her, you know. And it's, so it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be close.
And it's going to be close.
And that means that Donald Trump will not accept defeat if he loses. He'll accept victory, but he will not accept defeat. The election will be challenged if he loses. Faye Williams, can Kamala Harris win? Can she beat him?
Absolutely. She wins because of the energy we have, and we're going to keep it up. And she's going to win because she is a wonderful prosecutor.
All right. We do have to roll. But thanks to Dr. Williams, Daryl Glasper, and Dr. Samuels. Until next time, thanks for listening. Stay safe. Stay tuned.